Right, now we talk about probably the most unprofessional thing I've seen on a broadcast in a long time. And I say that as someone that that worked with some pretty crazy people down the years. I mean, keep in mind, even my good friend, sweet baby Moses, called me a fat bastard one time on a stream when he was particularly upset. So, you know, I've like you just did, yeah, look at you, you fat bastard. That's a quote. Okay, well, don't worry, I'm not going to make a scene. Obviously, someone's a bit sleepy. So, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take a quick look at something that I thought, personally, is one of the most unprofessional things I've seen happen on a broadcast in a long time, and it was revolving around the ESL Impact League. For those who don't know, just in case, ESL Impact is the women's league that ESL have been running, not without some controversy. Again, some of that controversy stupid, some of it kind of valid in the sense that, you know, it's a women's league funded by people that wouldn't have a women's league in their country, blah, blah. See Richard's greatest hits about Saudi Arabia. I won't bore you with them here. But obviously, it's been pretty successful, if not in terms of viewership, but I think in providing an interesting space where women competitors get to improve their skills, where they have get used to the ebb and flow of a high-profile, well-produced broadcast. You know, they get to do on the couch interviews and stuff like that, which, you know, obviously a lot of women's tournaments don't have the production value of ESL and that need to have content, and it's all good. It's all been good for the game, watching women improve steadily, watching the broadcast improve steadily. It's good. You know, I've always said, and just to put this here, because people erroneously, like Brexit, they fill in the opinion they assume I would have. My opinion about women's leagues is this. Ask yourself, why do we have women's night in the gym? No one ever calls that out. No one ever says, yeah, yeah, whoa, when are we having the men's only day in the gym? Right? No one ever says that, because it would be stupid. The reason we have, if you can understand the reason why we have women's only night in the gym, then you understand why we have women's only spaces in pretty much anything. It's because men are fucking weird. There it is. Sorry, guys. A lot of men are weird. Hashtag not all men. Just to don't upset the men, because there'll be some people in the YouTube comments. But, you know, there are chuds out there who just can't fucking help themselves. You know, and so what do? You know, like, what's the better option? And okay, there you go. Hashtag not all chuds. But but anyway, you know, the point being, like, that it's just a good initiative. And who knows where we'll be 10, 15, 20 years from now. And you look at what, in fact, I think we've really accelerated the idea of co-ed esports in general. You look at what's happening in Valorant. I've talked about Mel. You know, she's watching my stuff, so I'm glad you got over your latest bout of COVID. Super sad you had to sit out your competition. But, you know, you look at people like that, and there are now women at the high end of Valorant where you go, yeah, okay, you know, you could make a compelling argument that they deserve a chance on a co-ed team and would certainly, you know, hang with the guys. So you have to run whatever this is until we get another decade of data on it, and then we can make a determination about whether it was a good thing, bad thing. No. That's always been my stance. It's just super easy. It's like you don't even need to get into the weeds with it. There's no arguments about it. It's just that's what it is. So, okay, there you go. Now you know. So stop saying I said the things I didn't say. Because it wasn't me, it was someone else. Anyway, they've been doing these desk segments, and I have to prepare you, because, as I said, I saw something that just kind of blew me away. It was a desk segment where we had Sam, a.k.a. Tech Girl, on the desk as the host. We had Blair, who is over there doing ESL Impact, and we had a former pro, I believe. I don't think she's currently active, hasn't been for a couple of years, called Hedje, who is from Norway. She played on a bunch of teams. I want to say LGB was probably the most notable one that she played on. And they're doing this desk segment. And the desk segment is talking about FlyQuest, who obviously have some pretty well-known players on, and they ended up kind of losing a game. And Blair basically said, you know, essentially, we expected better, and it prompted this sort of insane meltdown, because Hedje, for whatever reason, decided that was the day she was going to lean into the Reddit opinion, which is you can never say players are bad or shit or did a bad job. Now, by the way, I know Reddit feel this way, because when Maui Snake does it, you call for him to be fired. When Ksad does it, you call for him to be fired. When Thorin does it, you call for him to be fired. When I stand next to someone saying it, you call for me to be fired. Right? So I know how Reddit feels about it. There was just a big drama on the front page of Reddit that we all know about. Because it was on this string. Match up the t-shirts. Where we know that writing articles saying teams and players were shit is bad. Okay, right, cool. So, who could blame Hedger for thinking, well, I'll just do what Reddit says. But there's a way to do things. And this is a rough one. So I am going to prepare you. There's a lot of cringe here.
Maybe a little bit on the first half of Ancient. But far from that, it was completely flat from Goose. I don't want to take anything much away from HSG because I feel like they played a fantastic game. But I expected something. Something from FlyQuest. And we got nada.
Oh, I'm going to... can you leave the studio? I don't...
Already off to a bad start here. Can you leave... Stepping towards your analyst... And saying, can you leave the studio? When I got sent this clip, I was kind of like thinking, okay, this is going to be a bit, right? This is a bit. Because obviously, as a host, I've done a ton of edgy bits myself. You know, and I don't want to say edgy in the traditional sense, but edgy by the piss weak standards of esports. You know, like we set things up, we play some jokes. You know, I remember when Ksad pretended to have a breakdown over Evil Geniuses, and they had security turn off his mic and drag him off the stage. And Reddit was going, "Is that real? You cretins! You don't deserve any of this, by the way. You literally just deserve to, like, every time you sit down to watch an esports broadcast." The monitors should be turned off, and someone should just beam a drug, like just pump you full of fucking whatever drug, LSD. You imagine the esports you want, guys. Just have that. And look, I did some asking behind the scenes, and I can confirm this was not a bit. This totally came out of left field. We'll talk about more of that in a second. I'm just going to let the clip go. I'm sort of anchoring it here with a bit of chat because it's really bad. It's really cringe. I really struggle with cringe, and this is cringe for a bunch of reasons.
I don't appreciate that. These FlyQuest Red girls, they have been battling their fucking brains out all season, been flawless in North America, and because they can't get their nerves under check on LAN, you're just shitting on them out of nowhere. Go play.
I'm not going to go anywhere.
Go and feel how it's like.
Well, Sam, guess we showed their nerves, though. Who didn't show the nerves, rather? HSG.
I don't...
Blair's a pro there, by the way. Not only has he not risen to it, remember, I'm always telling you about this is the behavioral model you have to adopt of, you know, fucking parent, adult, child, right? And what happens is if someone acts like a child, it's very easy to act like a parent, yeah? They're going, wah, 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 and you go, listen, if you don't stop doing that, right, but if you do that, then it's just going to exacerbate the behavior. So you just go as an adult, and what would an adult do? You just sort of ignore it and deflect that negative energy. Same way if someone's acting like a parent and talking down to you, it's very easy to go, no, you don't tell me what to do, actually, fuck you. And you act like a child, but of course you've got to come up to the adult level and just go, well, you know, I don't feel that way. What Blair did there is actually a masterclass, something to watch for any analyst. This segment is going wrong right now. I'm going to take something that she said and go, I'm not going anywhere. Make it softer and then pass it back to the host and say, I tell you didn't show their nerves, the other team. Let's move on. Let's move on to the segment. Fortunately, Hedger doesn't sort of take that Blair is doing her a favour in that moment because she's irate for whatever reason. And on it goes.
Think that you know what you are talking.
Finger in the face.
About this, they should be celebrated.
For losing.
They should be still celebrated. They qualified to come here and they have been playing brilliantly throughout the entire season. And if someone doesn't deserve to be here, you know what? It's you.
Okay, all right. Feisty.
Yes, but I'm right.
Right,
you know
Mom and Dad and I fighting. Let's be clear here. FlyQuest Red, phenomenal.
Now, I will just say that it must be nice because with Blair being, you know, Indian... There's obviously, if this was Thorin having a meltdown, they would immediately say, when he used the phrase, you don't belong here, they turn that into a racist thing, 100%. And so it must be nice to be insulated from the type of criticism that iconoclasts and controversial figures go through. This not only got played down by certain industry people, there was a lot of very easy avenues that they could go down to attack this girl, and they didn't. I'm saying girl. She is 36, a woman. We're not too far apart in age. So look, I'm just going to say this. I'm kind of like the big brother to a lot of people who work the broadcast, and I'm not here to dunk on people when they're having a tough time. And that shouldn't be the takeaway from this. Remember, this is about the stupidity of esports drama. I asked around. Apparently, she's got some stuff going on. She had stuff going on that day, and nobody picked up on it. And she ended up on a desk, and something got said, and she overreacted to it, right? That's the reality. Now, a couple of things about working a broadcast. When people are having a tough time, and keep in mind, you know, I know this personally, because I've had some real tough times on when I've gone on broadcast. I said I did the 2014 major days after my best friend hung himself and was watching a Twitch chat tell me to hang myself because I was hired as an analyst and I apparently don't understand the game. So I was sat there, but I kept it in. You know, and bottled that up because the show matters. The show matters. And if I have a meltdown or get upset or say I can't do it, the show suffers. Someone's got to pick up my work, and I just entrenched and did it because at the end of the day, I can compartmentalize by and large. Not everyone can do that. And so it's on the production to notice if people are having emotional problems or they've got something going on. And you have to not put them in that position. So that's rule number one. If you want to blame someone and you don't feel comfortable blaming her, it's ESL's fault, right? 100%. You can't blame the host. Sam's done everything she could there. You can't blame Blair. He's handled it like a champ. So why is she on there if she's in this emotionally fraught state? That's really what we have to talk about. And, you know, the aftermath of this was she got pulled for the rest of the day, and then they hired somebody to do her work on what was essentially the last day. And now there's this, you know, limbo about whether she's going to be on or not again. I would say probably this can be resolved. I know ESL want to kill this with silence, but I would just say this. If I'm her, I'd come out and I say, look, I had some shit going on. It's completely unprofessional. It's not an excuse. I hope you can forgive me, and I hope I get another chance. And I think that's going to soften everything, and then we're okay. Right? And that's honestly what I want. I'm going to say some shit that's going to feel contrary to that because, it's, you know, we're looking at the stupidity of esports drama and hypocrisy and whatnot. But I will just say that's kind of where it's at. It's live TV, anything can happen, and yeah, anything did happen in this instance. So, I do want to point out that even in her irate defense of FlyQuest, she's a hypocrite. Why is she a hypocrite? Because I went and I watched her, she, in, it's a typical ESL event. And the ESL events, you all pitch in. You do desk work, you're on the sofa, you do interviews, you do casting, everyone moves around. And I like that style. I think that's esports appropriate. I think if you start taking this shit too seriously, it feels ridiculous. But here's the problem. She was doing a, she did some commentary on NIP versus, OneWin. And she had no issues criticizing players during that cast. I'll just play you the clip.
It's not always so easy to look at small numbers on the radar. But anyway, good little cheeky bathroom setup here from Hedrick and Roland. Oh, but why are you going? Oh my god, no!
Sorry, I heard you say great setup.
No, NIP!
In we go.
Oi!
In we go. Config gave them a. He just looked like he just swung monster.
Config gave them an entry, and then Res is gonna push and move. Why? That's when you're supposed to stand the most still. It's exactly after somebody.
So, you know, she had no problem. She had no problem critiquing that team, making mistakes. There wasn't a co-caster to go, no, Edgy, I think you're being a bit out of. Think you're being a bit out of order there. You should respect them because they qualified to this tournament and they should be celebrated for losing to a team that's far below them in the rankings. None of that energy there, right? So do want to say that for, it kind of feels like there might be some bias or personal relationships involved, why she would feel compelled to defend FlyQuest. Not ruling out, it might have just been, you know, fuck this, I've got other things on my mind and I can't be arsed with what Blair is saying right now. So, you know, look, the bottom line is, she is, if nothing else, a hypocrite. And also, I don't even see the issue and wouldn't even want to frame it that way, because no analyst should feel compelled to defend players on a desk, and no analyst should feel it's their job to sort of celebrate failure because, you know, you're being a bit mean if you point out that they've essentially failed. I don't even think FlyQuest would have fucking given two shits about being told you underperformed losing to an Asian team with players that don't have the same reputation and experience as you, right? Simple as that. So, anyway, the clip goes on to social media. It starts off on HLTV, starts off on, and then it gets to Twitter, and it ends up being written about in the kind of lower hanging fruit news posts. I only noticed this because I don't follow Ryan Friend or Ryan Fraud or whatever he's calling himself these days, you know, because he doesn't even understand conflict of interest, yet he's an editor of a fucking journalism site. So, you know, whatever. But thanks to following Scrawny, I did see this. And apparently in the article, he wrote, Suden Blair Wehengbam was extremely critical of the North American team. And Connor said, did we watch the same segment? Blair didn't engage in any arguing, changed that slimy headline. And of course, so the immediate framing was, well, you know, Blair was like out. It was Blair who was out of pocket. Blair was not out of pocket. He just said the team with the reputation is the one that you would expect to do well, and they showed us nothing there. You know, they got banged out on two maps, essentially. So, Scrawny called it out, you know, as you'd expect. And it generated, like, some weird fucking responses. And again, I'm going to just invoke Frankie here. Obviously, she wasn't working the CSL Impact. I believe Sam was kind of her stand-in. I think Frankie didn't work this one. And she came in and said, or just remove the article. I don't think we need to keep talking about what happened. It was a one-off. If it happened on a show you were working on, and I know you wouldn't tweet about it because you'd be thinking of the people involved. Now, this opinion is frankly ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Listen, maybe there's a little bit of bias here. Remember what I said earlier about, like, I like to look at other people's perspective? Nobody has ever thrown me a fucking lifeline, ever, when it comes to the controversies I'm mired in. No one ever said, wow, Richard's really been through some shit the last 3 years. Maybe, you know, that does make you a bit weird or a bit antisocial, or you don't always think, you know, he's admitted to, like, having depression, admitted to having substance abuse problems because he's, like, got fucking PTSD. Maybe we could just be nice this time to him. No, never got that. Never got thrown that. The context was irrelevant. And writing about me and complaining about me and saying I'm an arsehole, that's fair game, apparently, for anything I do in the public eye, no matter what, right? So, listen, if things I say and do are newsworthy, it's the same energy when you're on a broadcast. Doesn't matter who you are. You've been hired to do a job. If you do that job badly or do something that's so out of pocket or beyond the fucking realms of acceptability on the broadcast, welcome to the big show. Don't like it? Can't handle it? Fuck off. That's the rules. Everybody's made those rules. Those have been the rules since Sopranos, time immemorium. That's what we've been dealing with. You wouldn't come out and defend Thorin if Thorin had done that. I know that. So what are we doing here? And so listen, if you... It's absolutely, unfortunately, within the broader context of news, it's absolutely newsworthy what happened. And keeping in mind, I have seen really innocuous clips being written about every time I say, well, this player shouldn't, and it's a Russian player. I'm in the Russian and Ukrainian news cycle for 2 to 3 days being called an old dog shit and being misquoted. This is the world we're in. Now, Frankie's personally involved in this, obviously, and I get it. If I don't know what is going on in her life, it might be something truly awful, and for that, I'm sorry. But I'm calling it as I see it, because that's how you have to do these things. So, Frankie later added, she will have spoken to Blair off camera, and that is that. Not everything is trial by Twitter. Now, listen, speaking is, okay, again, I'll give you a real life example. When Thorin made jokes about how he didn't like Poland because Poland, he felt, had racist football fans, and he thought Katowice was not a great city and not a good place for esports, he got removed from the Katowice broadcast after he'd flown out there, and removed on day one, and wasn't allowed to do it. And everybody wrote about it, and everybody still talks about that event to this day, and it's fucking 8 years or something. No, more than 8 years. It's like 9 or 10 years later. Right? And no grace. There was certainly trial by Twitter. It remains trial by Twitter to this day. What about when we did PGL Stockholm and there was some brouhaha behind the scenes that we all tried to... Because we all have to mitigate everyone else's ego when we're at these events, because all the broadcast talent are fucking psychos and everyone's got a huge fucking ego and everyone wants their minutes, and you have to have that or you can't do the job. Anyone got any, you know, thoughts about, you know, not everything should be trial by Twitter, we should be talking off camera, when James Bardolph comes out and says it's the old boys club and then unironically goes on to be an ESL executive and uses his executive privilege to put himself into broadcasts at the expense of other talent? Anyone got any thoughts about that? Oh, no, he makes hiring decisions now. Okay, my bad. So, we live in this world where, unfortunately, like, everyone's going to just disappoint you. Everyone's going to disappoint you and be a fucking hypocrite on these particular topics. These things are newsworthy. These things will be talked about, should be talked about. She doesn't get a free pass because she's having a really fucking bad time. Because if we wanted that to be the world we lived in, those are the rules. And also, the irony of Frankie saying not everything needs to be a trial by Twitter, someone who literally announced their arrival into esports by doing a trial by Twitter. Like, I defended you a fucking million times, but that's out of pocket, because that's bullshit, because you've done that shit. See? You weren't expecting that little heel turn, were you, on this stream? But it's just the truth. I don't give a fuck who you are. The truth is the truth. Anyway, incredibly, the criticism worked. So again, must be nice. Must be nice to have people do this for you. Ryan said, hey everyone, clearly I missed a mark with that latest article. It was obvious I made a mistake with the tone of writing. We've taken it down, and I take full responsibility for that. We'll learn. Come on, you're an editor. We'll learn from what happened and how to better approach things in the future. So, in other words, we're gonna Thanos that incident out of existence and not talk about it for reasons. So, we are creating an interesting dynamic within esports, aren't we? Where certain people are villains and must be smashed into pieces every time they stick their head up, and other people must be coddled from the realities of the job. And again, I'm not talking about down fucking gendered lines before you try to put words in my mouth. I'm just simply saying, I would on any of the things that happened to me, I would have loved this. I would have loved this energy. But no, you didn't get that. And the bottom line is, that is terrible. If that had happened on my desk, I would have said to her, you can't come back on a desk with me. And I'd have told production, I'm sorry, I can't have that. A desk, for those who don't know, and I've talked about it, the host's job is essentially directing traffic, for those of you who don't know. What happens is, you're here, production are in your ears, you've got to listen to your analysts, you've got to get in your ad reads, you've got to corral the analysts into saying what they say within a set timepiece. You've got to bring up the graphics that augment what they're saying when they're saying. You'll very often do this with a talkback button under the desk you can't see. And so what I say is, bring up graphic 5. And you can't hear that. It doesn't go out on air because I've got like a mute button, but it goes through to the production. And we call that talkback. You're doing all of these things at once. And so when people get agitated, get heated, get angry, go off the rails, won't stop talking, it fucks up the whole segment for everybody in a way that, like, you can't really understand. It's like, say, the unforgivable sin in a broadcast scenario is to make the show about you. Because it isn't about you, it's about the teams, the players, and, even though I can't stand them, the fans. That's what the show is for. And even though I hate the fans, you would never know it. I'll go out there, big smiles, you know, do the show, never get into my bullshit, you know, no matter what's going on in my life. You bring that to the desk, you're ruining the show. And it lives forever. You know, that clip, here's what they have to do. To memory hole that now, ESL has to delete the Twitch VOD. And that's all of the games and all the other segments that didn't have your bullshit in it. Nah. It's not right. It's unacceptable. And so I would have pulled that card immediately. I would have said, like, you can't come back in a desk with me. Sorry. That is, you fucked up. That's it. I'm not saying you can't ever do another show with me, but for the rest of this broadcast, you're out. And that's what ESL did. So, you know, fair enough. They handled it as best as they could. Now, where it gets interesting is I was like, well, Reddit aren't going to be angry with her. She's literally doing what Reddit fantasize about, which is every time someone criticizes a player, somebody's there to defend them. Oh my God, it's so unprofessional. Well, today Reddit decided we will be on the total opposite side of the fucking argument. And so there it is. By the way, again, the title, Blair Gets Flamed on Live Broadcast, more appropriate title, Analyst Has a Professional Meltdown on Broadcast, would be mine. But, you know, just a thought. And you can see, that's insane. How can any professional talent think that's an okay reaction? Literally how Reddit reacts every single time a favourite player is criticised. To put it in context, PGL, Stockholm, last major I worked. We said when Heroic squeezed through the groups, Heroic, one of the top five teams in the world at the time, squeezed through the groups 3-2, and they celebrated like they'd won the whole tournament, Cadian tossing chairs everywhere. Me and Thorin, in a throwaway sentence, in a 10-minute analyst segment, said, if you're celebrating like that after squeaking through 3-2, that tells me your ambitions aren't high enough. And Thorin's like, yeah, man alive, or whatever, right? What do you think Reddit had to say about that? These two old boomers hit everyone. They were, of course they should celebrate. Why are you saying they can't celebrate? Nobody said they can't. We said they were over celebrating, right? But they just pick and choose their favorites. And today, because of the relentless thirst for esports drama, it's bad to defend players to the point of cringe. Reddit's forte. She was acting like he insulted her family. Yes, like all of you do. Show some professionalism. I couldn't even finish the clip. It made me that uncomfortable. I love this one. It's a competitive scene, a competitive game, in what was a very tame dig from Blair at FlyQuest after they get 13-2'd on their map pick and then afterwards lose 13-6. Right, by the way, it's very tame when we say, maybe don't celebrate so much. It was very tame when Cadian shouted the word noob. What did you all do? You literally scoured, this is Reddit, you scoured the ESL rulebook to look what clauses he'd broken so he would get fined for shouting the word noob during a game. That was Reddit's opinion then, not Reddit's opinion today. So I can't understand it. I just want to know what you want, Reddit. And don't do the old, but you're treating Reddit like it's the same people. What is consensus? Reddit is a consensus machine. If you disagree, you don't upvote. We would never see the things you disagree with because you would be downvoting them, but you don't downvote them. You upvote them because you want the fucking drama. I don't think you know what you are talking about, a person I do not know said to the actual analyst that has worked significant CS events. Don't know her name? But she was out of pocket. Couldn't even bother to learn her name before criticising her. Surely she can't be at the desk after this tantrum. This lady versus Kassad. I'd pay good money to see them on a panel together. Imagine they have to analyse Hooksie. Unstoppable force versus immovable object. Now this is super funny because another point I made was, imagine, again, I'll keep using Thorin as an example because he probably is the most maligned. But I tell you what, I'll stop invoking his name. I'll use Maui Snake as an example, right? Imagine it was Maui Snake on the desk. And imagine she was saying that to Maui Snake. Do you know what Reddit would do? I do. They would absolutely be on her side. 100%. Yeah, Slay Queen, I hate Maui Snake too. You go, girl. That's what they'd say. Same segment, exact same reaction. Just Maui is an insert for Blair. 100%. And so this is where we get to just how fucking stupid and ephemeral the whole fucking thing is. It's like, you don't actually care about any of this. Like, I've got a reason to care. The people who work the show have a reason to care. I certainly care about journalism being memory-holed because someone said, but you hurt her feelings when you wrote that article. Like, what the fuck is that shit? You shouldn't infantilize people. 36-year-old people. Whole thing was ridiculous. Now, I don't know what the upshot of it all is. Because, as I said, it's outrageous. Generally speaking, if you were one of the bad people that Reddit and Twitter say is bad, you wouldn't work again in the industry. And that would be really unfair. And equally, by the same token, if you're one of the good people, or you have the good people championing you, you seem to just sort of be able to get away with it without even having to make the most rudimentary of apologies, which is also outrageous. For me, it's pretty simple. It boils down to this. Sometimes you have to protect people from themselves. So I can give you a little bit of insight into this. You know, I've been there. I've done a lot of hosting down the years. And if somebody's not right, I would catch it. I would catch it very early on. One of the things I would always do at the start of a show, I would go into the fucking green room and I'd be like, rally the troops, you know? How you doing? Yeah, what's up? You know, doesn't matter what's going on with me. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm like everybody else, you know? So I'd go around and I'd be like, look, you know, like, oh, what's up with you today? Did you get some sleep? You have a good time last night? You a little bit hungover? You this, you that? We'd find out where everyone's at. We'd do a temperature check. And then I would take that information and I would use that on the desk. I would feed it back to production. You know, there were little things you had to sort of know about. Like, you know, certain people needed a sugar-free Rockstar energy drink before you could really get into it, you know, because they were on the seabed, because we're all getting 4 to 5 hours sleep a night. Certain people needed, you know, good food. Certain people, you know, needed to get 8 hours to be absolutely sharp. Other people could do it. So some people drink during a broadcast, not during a broadcast, but I mean on a night, and might be a little bit hungover, so the morning segments might not be as good. Some people didn't. You take all this information and you tell the production, we need this, can't put them on there, he's hungover, just don't use him for 4 hours and he'll be fine, he's going to be fine, we're going to put some Hydra light in him or whatever. And then, and you know, and by the way, the other thing you would talk about is your life. And yeah, listen, I'm going through a bad breakup right now, I've got some stuff on my mind, I had a rough night last night, you know, whatever, but there's a bereavement. And what you say is, you go, look, just don't force it, you don't have to do it, it's optional. And so that's what you do. You fucking tell the production, don't put them on today, or only put them on for a little segment. And I don't throw out the spicy fucking segment that might upset them. So ultimately, this is a failure of production. ESL have got to take this one on the chin. At the end of the day, what goes out on a broadcast is their responsibility. What goes out on the broadcast is totally up to them. If you put someone on a broadcast in an unfit mental state to do a broadcast, it's on you. But equally, the one thing I hope we can all learn from this is ultimately that individual has got a lot to learn about, you know, compartmentalization, the nature of live event work, and sort of the nature of sports punditry. I'll end with just by talking about, I actually don't mind it when people argue. I used to tell my analysts, don't do it the traditional way. Funnily enough, me and Thorin have a fundamental disagreement about this. I used to say to my analysts, if somebody is partway through a point and you don't like where it's going, jump in. Jump in, because it makes it more interesting and it feels like an organic conversation. Shouldn't be a conveyor belt of host asks a question, opinion, counter-opinion, back to the host. If you do it like that, it's very boring and regimented. And American sports broadcasts do have people arguing and getting heated and talking up to each other. But the problem is, there has to be the same energy. And on a women's league broadcast, a guy is going to, it's going to look really bad on Blair if he gives that energy back. I'm just telling you, optically that looks terrible. The guy that they've brought on the desk, you're talking shit. Oh god. The think pieces and the hatred he would get for that. So he's in a fundamental disadvantage right from the get-go because he can't match the energy. And that's why it's also like a terrible thing to do to your co-analyst, terrible thing to do to your other fucking broadcast partners, because, you know, like Blair's gonna feel terrible about that. Blair's going to feel terrible. Like, there's no way Blair wins. Everyone's applauding his professionalism. But ultimately, it's either like, you know, did I say something when I could have maybe not said it and not upset her and now she's catching the heat? Or it's like, well, it's sort of fundamentally unfair. I look like a cunt. You know, it's really outrageous. So, you know, look, the bottom line is you can't just write this one off. You can't just write this one off as something that happened on a show, because then no one's going to grow from it, and we're going to make the same mistakes, and it's going to happen again. We've got to raise our game in production. Analysts have to be held accountable. All broadcast talent has to be held accountable for what happens on a broadcast. That's the bare fucking minimum. I don't care about her tweets. I don't care about her personal opinions. I don't even care about what, if anything, she was doing in the green room. The broadcast is sacrosanct. That is the thing that lives forever. If esports matters, that lives forever. It is a permanent record of the game. And instead of talking about ESL Impact and all the wonderful things it's achieved and the growth of the women's game, we're talking about one person who got super selfish on a segment. And so, unfortunately, it's a tough one. But an apology, I'll give it a pass. No apology, I mean, fuck it. No one else would be allowed to just sort of ride off into the sunset on that one.